Welcome to Too Old for This Shit, the latest top-tier We Hate Movies sideshow presentation. My name is Andrew Jupin, and I'm sitting here all alone because I have to do a little bit of an intro here, a little bit of a band-aid, folks. Full disclosure, had a little bit of internet outage issues in my apartment while we were recording this episode, and because of that, twice recording this episode, things got a little beefed on the recording side of things, and it turns out we lost the first 25 minutes of this episode and then a few minutes at the end. But the good news is we still have a really hilarious chunk of episode here. And because we're such long-winded blowhards, really, that first 25 minutes is us just rambling about a bunch of other stuff and not actually talking about the X-Men cartoon. So here's what's going on, folks. This is Too Old for This Shit. It is a new show that we're doing where we're going to tackle some form of new pop culture entertainment, be it a mini series, a limited series, a cartoon event such as this, all around new subject matter that we indeed might be a little too old to be talking about. So that's the gist of this show. And the first series of this show is us talking about the brand new X-Men 97 cartoon that is starting on Disney Plus next week. So what we wanted to do, we are releasing this on both the free feed with commercials and to our top tier Patreon subscribers simultaneously to give everybody a little taste of what Too Old for This Shit is going to feel like. So we thought, yes, we would talk about the pilot episodes of the original X-Men 92 cartoon, we'll call it. We are talking about, on this episode that you will hear in a second, Night of the Sentinels Part 1 and 2, all right, the original air dates. October the 31st, 1992, and November the 7th, 1992. Both of these episodes were written by Mark Edward Edens, and the first one was directed by Larry Houston, and the second part was directed by Larry Houston and Richard Bowman. So here we are. All four of us will be talking about this in just a sec. And what we're doing here, we have actually released a drop schedule for this series. So we have release dates for every episode of Too Old for This Shit, this first season. And you can find all those release dates over at whmpodcast.com so you know when these episodes are going to drop. Because normally it would sort of be like an easy bi-weekly thing. We tackle two episodes in each episode of Too Old for This Shit. But we have tours coming up, all that good stuff, which, by the way, yes, Atlanta, 425, we're talking Gamer in your beautiful town. 514, we are in Houston, Texas, talking RoboCop 2. And then 5:15, we are back in the great city of Austin, Texas, talking From Dusk Till Dawn. All that information also on the website, by the way, whmpodcast.com. Okay, I've done enough rambling. I've done enough explaining. And also, like I said, the end of this also crapped out, so you're going to hear Steve do a separately recorded outro all by himself. Yes, folks, what could go wrong did indeed go wrong with this recording episode, but we still wanted to give you a little taste of what you can experience starting next week here on Too Old for This Shit. And again, after this preview episode, it's all on the Patreon, gang. Patreon.com/WeHateMovies. All right, that's it, y'all. Hope you enjoyed the episode. We will see you next time for hopefully a single session recording of the first official episode of Too Old for This Shit. Enjoy.
People chicken. Oh, 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 yeah. See the chicken? That's pretty good.
So who exactly is like starting this mall trip? Is it a sanctioned event, or is it like, hey, I'm going to the mall, what do you want to do kind of a thing?
I think Gambit wants to go to the food court, get some that barbecue Louisiana chicken that is inexplicably sold out of a Chinese restaurant.
Oh yeah. 100%.
And you know, the good thing is you can just fill up on our damn there, free sample there. Uh-huh.
Exactly. Oh, my God.
Oh, no, I swallowed a toothpick.
No, a very smart man. He doesn't shit where he eats. You know, that's, you know, you would think he would be hitting on people at the mansion. No. Smart move, I think, really. You go out, you find a nice lady who will allow you to have sex with her while you throw magic cards that light up and kill things.
Mm-hmm. Well, Gambit is the ultimate freeloader, though. So I think it was like Rogue and Storm were like, it's Saturday, y'all. Let's go shopping, Storm. Let's go. And it was like, can I perhaps bum a ride to them all? I have to go to the hobby shop.
And I have to pick up some tail.
Horny as fuck.
And here's the question. Is it like, do we get, I mean, obviously free room and board at the Xavier compound, obviously.
Yep, absolutely.
Freeloaders, yeah.
Is there a stipend? Like, you know, I need some walking around money, professor.
Well, what, is he like the gym teacher? Like, what classes are they letting that monster teach?
Yeah, you gotta do some chores and then you'll get your $20 for the week.
Yeah, clean the fucking floor.
They never figured out the animation. There's no students whatsoever. It's like Jubilee, period. Right. It's very slow going. Jubilee runs into Rogue and Storm, and here we go. Big ol' Sentinel fight. This is pretty fun. Later on, the news is like, those rotten mutants are at it again. I'm like, what about the 30-foot robot?
Yep, no problem with that.
The U.S. military would be instantly out there. Anything threatens a mall in 1992?
Yeah, I mean, like, that's always the thing about the mutants. Like, X-Men makes sense in their own universe, which is actually kind of what's always weird. I mean, like, obviously they're well integrated in the Marvel universe, but I've never understood why I, as a citizen, would be disgusted by Gambit, yet like have a boner for Captain America. Do you know what I mean? Like, they're all fucking freaks. Like, you know what I mean? It doesn't matter if you were born that way, or it was a superhero serum or whatever, or you were bathed in cosmic radiation. Like, it's all disgusting, or it's not.
And you're talking about like Captain America there. That guy's got so many goddamn movies. Where is the Gambit movie? How do they not figure that out?
The fact that they could not harness that back when what's his name?
Tatum was all in.
Well, before that though, what's his face? Tim Riggins from Friday Night
Taylor Lights. Kitsch.
Taylor Kitsch appeared, and then it was like, oh, he's gonna have that movie. And like, Taylor Kitsch was hot at the time, man. How did you not fucking pull that off? Like, it's so crazy they could not harness that.
Yeah,
that's right there.
That's really the Captain America thing. It's much like, it's sadder when the cute animals die, you know? Captain America passes muster because A, he fights for us, goddammit. And B, and he's also, by the way, totally affiliated with the military.
That's a good point.
All right, it's a bad example, but like the Hulk. People love the Hulk. Yeah. Hulk's taking fucking selfies in those later Avenger movies or whatever. You should want the Hulk to have the death penalty, just like you want Rogue to have the death penalty.
Exactly.
I mean, we are entering the 24th year, no exaggeration, 24 years of Hugh Jackman playing Wolverine. Gambit is also a gruff guy. Yep. Just start a new thing with that character.
You know, it's sad that it never happened in the 90s, because you know what I'm thinking right now? Like, Marvel didn't have the interest or sway in live action stuff like when he was big. But can you guys imagine? I mean, it probably wouldn't have been great, but it would have been cool. Luke Perry in like a Gambit TV drama or something.
Yeah. That would have been low rent as fuck.
Yep. Yep. Like Mantis. It would be like Mantis level superhero television. But you would have been able to say that Luke Perry played Gambit.
I'd watch it.
I would watch it. We're having fun here. Jubilee comes to Gambit's aid at some point because Gambit gets knocked out. Like, he has helped her out. So it's like, we're already becoming friends.
Rogue throws an escalator at a Sentinel, and it's pretty great.
It's pretty great. Storm does the thing, which I don't know how this works, where this is on the back of the card of her power set, where she can summon, summoning all the storms that she wants. But that also puts her costume on her. That
I noticed that too, and I was like, "Is that right?"
I think that's a one and done. The Korean animators didn't understand our note. That's fine. We'll just use it.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's very like Tony Starkian. Yes. The way those Iron Man suits would just seem to grow onto his body.
And also,
I would prefer a slow dressing scene in one of the mall changing booths.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah, Storm's running into the JCPenney.
Okay, I gotta go to the Limited 2 real quickly.
No, she's running into the changing room, and meanwhile Robert Forrester is waiting outside for her. You know,
I'm like a gentleman.
I got the bag here, Storm. When are we gonna do When are we gonna do our big heist?
Oh, he's so good.
You know, I do like an older black woman.
Was he nominated for that performance?
Oh, absolutely, and rightfully so. But I don't understand how Cyclops doesn't do this more often. He just what's he doing in the parking lot? Was he like waiting in the van the whole time in full costume?
That brings up another thing, dude. Now that Cyclops is clearly just in the parking lot while they're in the mall, I think it's a thing where like you see them fucking like church group buses.
Oh,
and it's
I see.
We're all going out of the compound today to go to the mall, and Scott's got to watch the school.
Blessed be the professor.
He's such a goody two shoes. He's like, I'm gonna guard the parking lot to make sure that nothing gets into the mall to hurt you guys. And he fucked up.
Tell you what, he's got that visor, dude. If he's driving that school bus, X-Men are parking in the handicap
Absolutely.
Spot, I guarantee you.
Yep.
And he's just sitting there. There was a little Spanish fleet. And like all the shit's happening behind him. He's like, oh shit. But he beheads a sentinel no shot. Because he's like, laser blast, huh? How about one from a pro?
Oh, yep.
Yeah.
Beheads him immediately. Do that more often.
Do that more often. I would never wear the glasses. Yeah. I'd be walking down the street cutting everything in half I see. I don't care. I'm God.
Sounds like your problem. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But later, there's another one when, again, Jubilee's foster parents' neighborhood is being decimated by these things for like the third time in a week. He fucking blasts one and clearly chops this thing's leg off at the knee easily. And I was like, how is this ever a fight then? Just keep doing that every time.
You got the Kevorka, dude. So, but Jubilee has been gassed by a sentinel at this point. So they
The little gas finger holes are disgusting. That creeped me out.
And very much like the first X-Men movie, she awakens in a medical bay in the Xavier compound, very confused where she is, walking around. Everything's so creepy, crazy. We meet Beast here. I love Beast. I love the voice of Beast. I think.
Yep.
Did you see
the guy?
He's coming back, I believe.
The guy who voices Beast looks like himself a beast. It's amazing. I love this guy.
Yeah, he spent some time in the food court. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, he might have just done that, Eric.
Hold on. I'm pulling it up. The Beast is played by George Buzza.
Great name.
Great headshot.
Great name.
Boozin.
Boozin, baby. And I believe he does. Yeah, he's coming back as for X-Men 97, one of the few cast members coming back, which is great.
That's pretty cool.
You know, he's doing some experiments. She's like, oh my God, what's that? She runs into the danger room. And I mean, like,
she runs by Morph watching TV. And I got to tell you, by the end of this two-parter, I'm so glad this guy's fucking dead. Are you kidding me with that laugh? Well, you expected me to go a whole cartoon series with that snickering? I don't think so.
He was clearly on the chopping block from minute one. I mean, this guy, like, he's so annoying sitting there like, I'm an idiot.
There's a reason he's watching television alone, by the way.
Absolutely.
Because no thanks.
Whole mansion full of coworkers. You're watching TV by yourself. I get that.
And so she's like, oh, that. And he irritates her, which freaks her out. Then she winds up in the danger room where Gambit and Wolverine are going at it. And I mean, like, how many people have died in the danger room? Like, a lot, right?
Well, if you keep putting all these foundlings down in the basement hospital room and leaving them alone to wander blindly through your military basement, like, probably a lot is the answer. Probably a lot of innocent kids have been killed.
That's the security. If you could survive, you know, then you're fit to change Professor X's diapers.
Just some security system. I know that they're not into that, but like Colossus, I mean, what is he? Just let him roam the halls at night. It's fine.
This is when we meet Wolverine, who is great. Another great voice here, like a classic voice. So I guess it's the same guy doing it in the cartoon in 97. And we'll see next week when we listen to it. But It didn't sound too great on that trailer, I'll be honest.
I don't know. Yeah, I mean, Cal Dodd is in his late 60s.
Yes, exactly.
Point. And I got to tell you, you look at Mr. Dodd's IMDb page, he is wearing one badass motherfucker of a leather jacket.
Of course. Ooh. He played Wolverine for 20 years.
This is a real cool fucking dude, I guarantee. Oh, my God. This jacket's amazing.
That's awesome. Good for him.
I do love that he's giving Gambit shit. He says, you know, if it's too much, just say enclue. That's what you would say, right? You fucking Cajun fuck. You gumbelingus motherfucker.
Oh, I got Gambit should give it back to him a little bit. Like, don't you mean you want to throw an A on there or throw it in a boot, perhaps?
Yeah, maybe rather some etouffee, exactly. Fucker.
I'd rather be from the bayou than Canada, my friend. Mon frère.
Is he the best? Wolverine's the best Canadian fictional character of all time.
Has
probably
to be. I think so.
Huh, yeah. Fictional Canadians.
James Woods and Videodrome, number two.
Yeah, I do love Civic TV. It's the one you take to bed with you.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Oh, what about Michael Ironside and Scanners? That's another fiction.
Oh, there you go.
That's
yeah, true. That's a good
actually,
one.
Yeah, the whole Cronenberg verse. Yeah, there's a lot of
got
good
a lot
ones
of them. Yeah, yeah.
Dude,
my apologies to Canada. Better than I thought.
And actually, you know what? It makes sense. Wolverine is a Cronenbergian figure with those.
Oh,
you know the claws coming sure out through the yeah thing. It's gross. Body horror. It's yeah body horror yeah for sure.
Walking, oh, yeah, talking body horror, dude. Absolutely.
Ideal Weapon X director.
Yes, yes, he is. There's something about Canada that you just want to like rip your body apart in weird ways, I guess.
Jubilee blasts Storm. Everyone's blast Wolverine. Everyone chuckles at that, but then she's like, "What is this place?" And very weirdly, it's an interesting choice. Storm explains who the X-Men are, and not Professor X. It's kind of an odd choice, but it works. The voice actress for Storm is also coming back. A very strong performance there as well. I believe Iona Morris.
Ooh. Love it's it crazy that they got all these people back.
Yes, they're all coming back.
Well, what else were they doing? I mean, that well, in a yeah, nice way, because I'm not doing
oh,
wait, shit no, either. So,
misreported. She does not come.
Oh,
okay. Oh, whoops. Well, all right.
You are fake news, my friend.
Yes. Oh, actually, voicing Storm in the new one, James Woods.
Oh, nice.
Ooh, yeah. Sexy. I mean, like, it's nice to see the bump after the Oppenheimer win.
Yes.
Right. Yep.
But so they're like, wow, what is going on with these Sentinels? Professor X figures out that there's a facility and that if they have Jubilee's information, they must have information on a lot of mutants. We can't let that happen, so we're going to send a strike team to go get it. Meanwhile, I think at this point Jubilee does escape.
Yeah, Jubilee, yeah. This is a weird, she escapes and takes the bus back to the foster parents' yes house. Because she's paranoid that I guess they're going to be in danger or something. And this is when the guy who's hired Trask, whatever this other dude's name is here,
yes,
is interviewing the step-parents. And, like, it is a real cock-up, X-Men. I'm sorry. Like, she escaped from, like, the last we see her is the Danger Room basement area.
Mm-hmm.
And somehow you let her get off the compound property here and get a bus somewhere?
I know.
Embarrassing.
Yeah. Again, a security system, you idiots. Like some kind of team. I you just gotta pay people because Gyrick is around. This I've never even heard of this guy. Gyrick, is that it?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, okay. Gyrick. Yeah, it's Gyrick and Trask are both like the Sentinel brothers kind of a thing.
Right. It's a good good cop, bad cop thing going on between them when we do meet them, because Tasker seems to be like the softer one, is like, well, just wait till we get 100. Don't go killing the kids yet.
But they kidnap her pretty quickly.
Oh, this is when she gets gassed by the Fingies.
Yes,
by the way.
Uh-huh. And so she's out of commission. Wolverine goes to go look for her instead of going with the team because, as he says three times in two episodes, I go where I want to go. It's like, yes.
I do what I want.
Yeah,
it's the same bit of audio just used three times.
And that's what he also says when he urinates in public.
Wolverine, you can't piss here. I go where I want to go.
God, I don't know why, but all of a sudden I just get the feeling of like a terrible New Year's Eve ending. Just watching some deja vu. You guys saying that?
So we're now at the facility, and you know we're. it's kind of, I like this moment when Rogue explains, like, it's a really smart, like, pilot that kind of, like, if you don't know what the X-Men are, you do by the end of it. You know what everybody's powers are, and you kind of know that what the mutant thing, you get the mutant tragedy bit as well.
Right.
With Rogue and Beast walking in the woods, and she's explaining the first boy she ever kissed, yada, yada. And, you know, although Beast is kind of a dickhead, he's kind of chuckling at it. And I'm like,
yeah, that's inappropriate. It's also weird. Like, I get it. It's the first episode. You have to set this up.
Yeah.
It's just weird that, like, they're walking to do this covert mission.
Yes.
And she's telling a story that, like, you get the feeling they've been working together for long enough. She would have told this to them already.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? So it's a weird, you got to get that stuff in somehow.
I mean, I guess,
little clunky.
I guess that's why he's laughing. He's like, oh, yeah, that old one. Yeah.
Here she goes again, talking about that boyfriend.
For the 100th fucking time.
I got to tell you, man, Morph is like, oh, you know, whenever I got in trouble, I'd be the principal, dude. You would never find me if I was Morph. I'd be like, oh, if I'm in trouble, gone.
I would be turning into a new person like every few minutes. You would
absolutely.
I would disappear, blend in. I'd have the Grail already.
Dude, you know, it's a crazy, like, cool sort of Morph story is he does that. He adapts that sort of lifestyle, right? And he does it so much, he forgets what he originally looked like.
Yes. And
it's like, I don't even fucking know who I am anymore. I'm just Morph. I'm everybody and nobody.
Then could he morph back to his old self, or has he forgotten to such a degree that he becomes like a fatter or shittier version of himself? You know, like, it's just like, mm-hmm. or like, it's him, but the nose is wrong or something.
Uh-huh.
Right. Yeah, totally.
What did I look like? What did I look like?
It goes from being a Beetlejuice Alec Baldwin to 30 Rock Alec Baldwin.
Well, that dude, that,
just does, where, what happened?
That happens to all of us, I think.
But, you know, Wolverine rightfully says, you people make a lot of noise. This is the facility break-in part. Super fun. We're using Morph as a... He kind of does a Terminator 2 fat security guard to fat security guard thing.
Definitely does. This dude, I love this dude. He looks like Guillermo from Jimmy Kimmel.
He does.
It's pretty great.
You know, and we break in. Wolverine can smell the beams. Ozone, which is super fun.
I like that.
I like Beast's a minor poet for a minor obstacle thing. It's just kind of like kind of shitting on whoever the fuck poem he's reading. Like, I don't know, dude. Leave him alone.
The trivia has the name of it. I've forgotten it already, but it was someone I've never heard of.
So that sounds right.
John Wesley, I think.
Yeah.
Or something like that.
And you know, it's we're breaking in, and like basically right towards the end of it, they were about to Morph says it looks like smooth sailing for here. We're about to open the door on a room full of guards. Cut to next time. Next time. Everything's kind of a little different.
Oh, first of all, by the way, Chris, not even close. It was a person named Coventry Patmore.
Mm. Oh, Jesus Christ.
Was that a civil, yeah, exactly. Civil War general?
I love the cliffhanger of, oh no, are Wolverine, Beast, and Storm, and Morph going to be taken out by 5 anonymous guards? Oh no, they're going to use their powers and get out of the situation. Big surprise. Yeah.
These 4 fucking nobody guards, dude, they're all just drawn the same. They all look like, sort of like the character design's almost like the race dance from Ghostbusters, the real Ghostbusters cartoon. This is like fat redheaded guys.
Oh, yes. Love it. It was crazy. It was a bunch of Irishmen or something.
It's like early Star Trek.
Yeah.
They, you know, we're just breaking in now. Meanwhile, there's some trouble outside. Some forces are amassing. So Gambit and Cyclops are. And Rogue are just roughing them up on outside. A little bit of fun there. That's fun.
I like all of the action in this. Just
it's great.
Looks great.
Yes.
It's all really great. It's really innovative. It's all like, it's not like too rushed. It's like casually cut together. Like it's not like super fast cutting.
Nope.
You know, we're letting these things do their animated dance on the screen. It's great.
It's very specific to whose powers you're using, what, how they're fucking with people, et cetera. You know what I mean? Like it's fun. Meanwhile, we are now in the records office and we're starting to, Beast is putting a computer virus in there. Meanwhile, the files are locked and Wolverine's like, I have claws, guys. Why do we always do this? It's fine. Just ask me to use the claws. It's fine.
Yeah, you don't have to like tinker and try to get the thing gently open. This was like my grandfather, dude, when he would open Christmas presents, he would gently just to use his little pocket knife to undo the tape and then fold the wrapping paper so. And I was like, it's just going in the garbage with the rest of it. Tear it and let's get on with it. Tear through this filing cabinet, Wolverine. Tear through it.
Which he does. And then Beast is poeting again, and Storm is like, we don't have fucking time for this. She just like uses her Storm shit. So we blow up the computer. Now all those mutant records are gone. And we're outside. It looks like smooth sailing again, but here comes like 90 Sentinels, and that's the problem. Which is where
they were waiting for 100. Like they were waiting to get to that. Like did you just wasted 12 of them? You're not going to hit this number, guys.
It's kind of an interesting thing. So like the Sentinels arrive, and you know you see like Morph go Wolverine pull back, and then we cut to everybody's gone and. We don't know what happened to Morph or Beast. And like, it's like, wait, what happened?
We left them behind.
Is this a real?
Structurally, this is all very weird the way that they choose to do this. Yes. Where it's like, just show us the fight, like keep happening, right? Like you see the Sentinel like fires a laser at Morph. And I'm like, well, I know which way the fucking wind's blowing with this. But and then it's like, we're back at the mansion and Wolverine's like, damn you, Cyclops, you got us out of there. And I was like, wait, what just happened? And then you go back and watch it all.
I love that he gives them a punch in the gut. That's fun.
It is a good little. It's because he is drawn perfectly tiny.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
and like, it's like if Danny DeVito like it's a real good like little guy punch yes. in the stomach.
Yeah.
and they're about to. And this is the thing. Jean Grey always kind of bugged me on this show. She's a great character. This show, she is an actual wilting lily at all times. Anytime she's about to use her powers, she goes, oh, and faints. You know what I mean? Like, Morph gets killed. She goes, oh, she faints. And she's just there to kind of, A, give Wolverine a boner, and B, pick up the pieces and keep everybody separate, basically.
Peacekeeper.
Yeah, she breaks up the fight. And she's like, Scott, it's not your fault. And Wolverine, it's not your fault either. This is when... Wolverine goes off to whatever bar, the Jack Nicholson bar, which I do love.
Yeah, he's at Nicholson's, dude.
The bar is called the Two Jakes, right?
Excellent.
I do love Wolverine stealing this car, and he like takes out his claws and cuts the roof off another car, and he's like, tell Scott I gave him a convertible. Yes. Just like steals this car. Yes.
It's awesome. I mean, you're really just pissing off the professor because that wasn't Scott's car. You know what I mean? It's a company car that the professor paid for. Very clearly.
The professor will have a new one for you by morning. Don't worry
about it. What kind of janitorial staff do you have to pick up that shit? I mean,
but you know what? That car was the one that had all of Scott's radio presets in it. So good luck finding all your stations now, bub.
Good luck finding your stupid Christian rock station.
Go find Gospel 103.4.
Oh, shit. I just told him the fucking name.
Son of a bitch.
I told him the number and everything.
I wasn't going to say anything, but that's very funny.
We are now remembering what happens, which is Beast gets like fucked into an electric fence, and we just
see this guy immediately. This guy gets fucking jacked up.
Imagine the smell of that seared fur.
Oh God, yeah.
No poetry for this asshole, and he gets arrested. Basically, like we're fighting a bunch of Sentinels, but there's too many Sentinels. And they just run a train on Morph, essentially. These things just decimate. We don't look at it, but there's nothing left, is what I'm guessing.
That's right.
Oh, no.
Absolutely.
Gone.
You'd be like, what, did a pack of velociraptors get at him? Look at that. There's nothing left.
He finally morphed into dirt. It just...
But we do... See, which is kind of amazing. I mean, like, you know, a little kid's cartoon. You're introduced to your fun characters. Your comic relief gets murdered in the second episode. The stakes are high.
Yeah.
It's pretty high, man. Yeah.
I mean, to the credit though, the comic relief was very annoying.
Yeah.
Like
it was.
Really,
the show was better without
them. They would not have the stones to do it, I don't think. But we'll see.
No, not a problem.
You know, this new one's going to be, you know, I'm just saying, like, if they did an X-Men show now, I don't think you'd be killing off X-Men in the first episode.
Yes, Because the X-Men show now, the X-Men show they're doing now is for people our age. And like, if little kids watch it, great. But they're looking good. They want 40-year-old men to watch it, which is,
I'll tell you what though, Steve. Right now, name an insignificant X-Men.
Good question. Maggot.
Okay, what? So let's say, dude, maggots? this X-Men 97 opens up, and they decide to play into. Because the Morph thing is kind of known. Like, if you're a fan of the show, you know about the hilarious death of Morph. They have Maggot in this new one just to make a reference to that joke and kill off Maggot in the first episode.
That'd be pretty fun. Maggot, by the way, had two sentient large maggots that were his big friends that, like, I think he could, like, absorb energy with them
He was great in the Dirty Dozen.
But also I should say they do walk this back later in the series. Morph is revealed to be alive. I think in the next season Mr. Sinister gets him and he's like evil or something, and like they're trying to get, like, Mr. Sinister picks him up just at this moment and fucks with his mind and makes him a baddie.
What is that then? That's like saving Han there from the car wreck or whatever. Yes, exactly.
Last minute.
I mean, but at the same time, it takes them a whole season to do that. This dude is dead that entire time. Beast, by the way, this entire season is in jail, which is kind of hilarious. I believe the season finale is Beast's trial. Yes.
Yeah, he converts to Islam, starts lifting weights.
Writes a really great book. I'll be like, wow, Beast is a great leader. But, you know, so this is what we imagine. Cyclops realizes he's got a plan how to get everything back together, so he has to go to the two Jakes. He orders a One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, which is a flaming shot.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah.
I love on the TV right here, this is where they have the president speaking. Yeah. And this president looks like that piece of shit Senator Martha Blackburn or Marsha Blackburn or whatever her name is. There is a great thing where they have this president go, "This was done by a robotic police force known as Sentinels." And I just love hearing robotic police force. I just picture in my head like an army of RoboCops.
Well, yeah, and just imagine all the fucking people with dead relatives because rocks and fucking sides of buildings have been falling onto them. We know! I mean, we know what they are!
Those Sentinels are stepping on dogs.
Oh, absolutely.
Deer, cars.
They're killing anyone with, like, dyed hair. Looks like a mutant. Get it. You know what I mean? Like, I do think, I do love, so the president on her, like, Stairmaster or whatever, goes to Gyarik and she's like, yeah, I'm going to put a pause on the murder robot thing. We're not doing that anymore.
Look at this. Look at this. We were talking about the whole, like, conservatives crying about the X-Men now. There's a female president in 1992's cartoon.
Insane. Mm-hmm. It's trying to, and the bad guy are all the white guys. You know, she's even like empathetic and is sort of sympathetic to the X-Men here. Yes. You know what I mean? Yes. Like, oh, wow. Yeah. Which is a good thing. So she's a good guy. It's not even like a bad guy kind of a thing.
Right. Yeah. I'm just saying it's just like, watch the thing you love that you don't even know anymore.
I like this scene with Cyclops at the Jubilee home. Where he's, I imagine it, like he's just trying, I think he's trying to find Jubilee, right? And I imagine the dad's like, and Nick Nolte is holding up the bank, right? And the kid is there. And it's a beautiful motion picture. It's actually a French movie originally.
So I heard this professor, she got deep pockets. She gonna do anything for my VCR problem or what? I mean, the girl's the girl. We had her for a month. She's not my type. But, you know, the VCR is important to me.
They have a TV with the VCR now. If you could get one of those for me, I would really be appreciative.
The girl was gonna come and go, all right? Possibly maybe a year at the longest. My tape collection is forever, sir. Sir Cyclops.
Did you know that my wife, like, with threat of divorce, made me name her Jubilation? Would you believe that shit? I was absolutely the D word. It came out. Jubilation or nothing.
Jubilation. But this guy does, because he calls the mutant. The second Cyclops shows up, he pulls an Iceman's brother in X2 and calls the fucking the Federales. He calls Gyarik, and Gyarik is like, we'll send somebody right over. And then, like, talking to him, he realizes that Cyclops is a good guy. You got to get out of here. I just signed your death warrant. I'm a fat asshole.
It's insane that Cyclops does not dress this dude down in the slightest. He's like, oh, well, that's okay, sir. People fear what they don't understand. I was like, I don't know, Scott.
People fear what they don't understand, but adults are responsible for their actions. How about that, too?
Like, I'm not both. You just fucking narked on me.
Exactly. Narking is never okay. And fuck you. But yes, this is when he winds up, he sees a guy, a sentinel across the street. He rips his arm off, and the plan is...
Hang on. You know how he rips his arm off?
Mm.
By making a not joke, because this fucking robot goes surrender, mutant. And he goes, of course, not.
Oh,
and then
yeah.
blasts this thing.
It is 1992, ladies and gentlemen.
That was cutting edge for the
it
time.
Was. I was. I remember as a little kid, I was like, oh, shit, Cyclops just said not. Oh,
totally.
Wow.
Razor sharp comedy.
And he winds up, the robot goes to Detroit, Michigan. I get, you know, this is another thing that Detroit, you know, the cars went out, the sentinels came in. They were like, all right, this is going to be a big industry for us.
Yeah, it cuts to that sometime back, and it's like a black site where she's being held, Jubilee is.
Yeah.
And there is this whole thing where the president, like, tells, Trask and other guy there, like, hey, you need to fucking cut it out, Gyrick, with fucking with these X-Men. She goes, did they perhaps have a reason to defend themselves? Eat shit, Gyrick.
That's right.
What I'm doing,
eat it up.
I'm bringing industry back to Detroit. They will be building the Sentinels. Those old closed down factories are reopening with laser blasters.
Yeah, today they bring in all these Chinese-made Sentinels. We're going to put tariffs on them, and we're going to build Sentinels in America again.
And do you know what these Chinese Sentinels do? They just play TikTok at you, folks. That's all they do. Is they just put big TikTok screens in front of you, and they hypnotize your children, folks.
That's right. That's what President Obama, who's still in office, wants.
So it's a raid on the factory here, and this is fun action stuff. Jubilee actually escapes herself. She uses her powers and blows a hole through the wall, is almost about to be captured, but oh, here come our good friend the X-Men. And it's a free-for-all, a lot more action here. I love the Wolverine climbing up the sentinel with his claws, cutting his head off, yelling, this one's for you, Morph. And I mean, like,
dude, that is a major LOL.
It is, because, and I mean, like, this is what this show did well, was the melodrama in all the performances. Like, everyone's at 11 and, like, literally thinking they're doing Shakespeare, but they're doing a dumb kids cartoon. Like, you know, Cal Dodd was, like, in near tears being like, this one's for you, Marv. And it's like, that's great. That's what I want.
And while this whole action sequence is happening, including screaming over the this one's for you, Morph, the theme song is going, dude.
They're
fighting to the
theme
song for the show, which is great.
Which we always love when that happens. Any other action highlights for anybody here? Just, you know, we're fucking shit up. It's fun.
I love that the Sentinel gets fucked up and then falls into the factory.
Yes.
Yeah, like, that's great.
And everybody's like, not like, let's just call it. That's it.
Yeah, it's
enough. Are they kind of doing, are they King Konging with the Sentinels? And by that I mean, like, are the Sentinels sort of changing in height from scene to scene? Okay.
Not intentionally, but yes, it just sort of.
Yeah, I was wondering if that was something that just kind of happened to be happening, you know?
Because if you think about it, like, sometimes they're, like, as big as a building, and then sometimes they're, like, 3 feet taller than Cyclops. Like, that can't be the same thing.
When that happens, a wizard
does. Yep, that's, I see.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I do love, I mean, it was the style of the time, but the jackets over our costumes. Some people need jackets. Some people, I guess, are a little colder, you know, just Cyclops, a little colder.
Yeah, it's a little
there.
Chilly out.
Gambit knows he looks stupid. You know what I mean? And he's like, all right, I look like I'm dressed to fucking champion a bobsled team. I got to put a duster on over this thing. Mm-hmm.
And he knows the duster's going to get a blade, which it does.
Yep, it does. A little bit. Works every time, mon ami.
They, you know, they save the day. And then at the last scene is, like, Jubilee packing her shit.
I can't believe this shit.
And, like, saying, like, I love you guys. Thank you so much. It's been so wonderful. And I mean, you know what? I'd be like, I hope you one day understand what you did to me. You know what I mean? Like, that is the last thing she should say. It's like, I hope one day in your darkest hour, you feel half as bad as you made me feel. Goodbye,
you
asshole.
You are absolutely correct, dude. But instead, she literally says that they were the best foster parents ever. And I smacked my forehead.
Turn your cheek, you know, forgive, right?
I'd fucking electrocute these people.
Well, you wouldn't be an X-Men. Yeah. You'd be on death row by now.
I'd be in the Brotherhood of Mutants, dude. Definitely. I'd be a fucking...
Oh, I would I'd be. I mean, I'm bitter. As, I'm, bit, yep. I'm bitter, cynical, and a piece of shit now. So give me powers. Look out. I'm definitely joining Magneto's crew.
Then you get to cozy up with that Mystique, dude. That guarantee that Mystique's into ass play, 100%.
Oh, yep. Yeah. Oh, yeah. That and what, a pterodactyl man, you get to hang out with it.
Hey, dude. She could turn into any ass you want.
Exacto mundo, yeah. My friend.
She's got, because now that my old hookup morph is gone.
So yeah, we're Jubilee's reconciled with their shitty fucking foster parents. She says she's going to visit them, but she's never seeing them ever again. And the adventure kind of continues. Much like this adventure will continue on Patreon on the top tier, by the way, top tier patrons only, folks. Starting next week, we're going to be recapping episode by episode X-Men 97. If you go to whmpodcast.com, you will be able to find out the release schedule because there's some funky stuff going on. We're doing it basically bi-weekly, but we also have a tour coming up. But rest assured, every episode will be recapped in this inimitable style. You're going to have so much fun. We're going to have so much fun discovering what this show is together, folks. So, until next time, for Andrew, Eric, Chris, and myself, this has been Too Old for This Shit!